Welcome to the Birth Warrior Podcast. In each episode, we feature the stories of birth warriors, women who have persevered to find their own truth in pregnancy and birth. As you hear these women share their stories of love, autonomy, connection, and power, it is our deepest wish that you will be inspired, empowered, and supported to find your own truth. We are honored these women have stepped forward to share their personal stories and to help us remember that we all have the power to choose what is right for us. The Birth Warrior Podcast is a presentation of the Indie Birth Association and is not intended to be medical advice.
Okay, here we go. Welcome everybody to the Birth Warrior Podcast presented by Indie Birth. I'm your host, Tina Fulton. And today we're going to be talking with Emmy Kissinger. Hi, Emmy.
Hello. So good to be here.
So excited to chat with you today. So let's start with just telling us a little bit about you.
All right. I am in the Midwest. I'm a mom of two awesome kids. We have two dogs, two cats, and four chickens, so we've got a lot going on. I'm a part-time school psychologist as my day job, and then I'm also a freelance writer in the women's wellness niche. So it's an awesome journey, busy, busy, but really fun.
Fantastic. So I did, I did read your blog, and I loved your stories. And so I was wondering if you'd like to talk a little bit about your first birth.
Yeah. Okay. So my first birth was kind of like your typical, I saw the documentary, The Business of Being Born. I kind of knew that there were some potential difficulties that might come up if I decided to birth at home or at the hospital. And my heart was really telling me that I should birth at home. But I was just graduating grad school. We had just changed locations and I was just starting a new job, all of these things. And I just kind of went along with my husband's intuition instead of my own and decided to birth in the hospital because we found a midwife who was available. And it was your very typical, I very much prepared for my birth superficially, focusing on what I would wear, whether there would be, you know, a birth photographer, all of these different things, rather than sort of doing the internal work that I needed to do. So when it came to the actual birthing day, luckily the night before my scheduled induction, because I was just about 42 weeks, and I woke up in labor in the middle of the night and was just terrified by the sensations I was feeling. I didn't know what I was going to do, how I was going to handle that, and decided I must be in the most active form of labor and it must be baby time. So we better go to the hospital right now. We got there, labor totally slowed down for the entire day. And then from there it was, decided to break my water because I had been laboring at that point for 23 hours and it was either my choices were C-section or breaking the waters. So we opted for that. At that point, the contractions became something that I didn't even know how to wrap my head around because I don't think I was quite there yet emotionally, ready to manage those sensations I was feeling. So everything just sort of felt chaotic, felt out of control, and I hardly remember it, honestly, because it was so, such a different place than I had ever been in my life. So then heart D cells started, rushed in for emergency cesarean. I was totally sedated, because, I guess I was so out of control that they couldn't really manage me as a patient at that point. So I was completely put to sleep. My husband, sister, birth team, no one was allowed in the delivery room or in the operating room because It was an emergency at that point. And so it's hard for me to talk about because I've had to do a lot of healing work around the fact that no one was there to greet my baby when he came into the world. It's a really hard thing.
That's a big thing.
Yeah. So I was asleep for about somewhere between 2 to 4 hours before I got to meet him.
Right.
Yep. And he did skin to skin with dad during that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I'm sorry that happened.
Thank you. It was a pretty defining moment in my life. I realized I needed to
be Right. Wow. Just sitting with that for a minute. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's a, that's the first time I've probably ever been able to tell that, story without just like breaking down, shaking tears, because I've really had to work through kind of the consequences of the way I was thinking about, taking charge of my own life.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing such a deep thing. So where did you go from there?
From there, I went, literally I went home and realized that kind of everybody was super excited to meet the baby. And then I was just alone.
Right.
And I was there recovering from my C-section. My husband had just started a new job. My mom came over to help a couple of nights, and then I was just alone with that baby. And I loved him. We had, and we still do probably have a little bit, unhealthy of a bond, because once we met then we just sort of like clung to each other and we're like, we're never going to let go. We're together now and we're staying together. So very much started to learn about all of the breastfeeding and the attachment parenting and those sort of things, and realized that that was where my core values really aligned. And the breastfeeding journey was really challenging. So that also was a struggle, because at that point I didn't really know how to ask for help at all. I didn't really realize there were people that would help me necessarily. So that was good 10 weeks of just pure suffering, every single latch being really challenging. So from there, really realizing that that experience had kind of broken me in half, broken me open, and required me to start learning, start educating myself. And by those things, I don't mean your traditional, like, oh, I'm going to learn about medical technology. I had already done all of that. I had done the Bradley Method series prior to my first birth. And I had to learn about myself. I had to learn how I worked and how I was going to take charge of my own life and make decisions for myself so that I could feel confident and comfortable in the way things were going.
So do you feel like that initial postpartum was the defining moment, or the catalyst turned you away from the medicalized system, or did it happen during the baby's birth, or, you know?
Yeah, I would say, so I started to get a little bit connected with ICANN, so International Cesarean Awareness Network, and I attended one of their conferences, and I heard Pam England speak when I was there, and that was kind of the moment that I realized, okay, something really, really hard happened to me, and I can accept that, and I can move on from there, but I'm going to make different decisions so that I feel confident.
Right, and it never happens again.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you find IndieBirth?
My sister is a midwife's assistant, and she just kept recommending it over and over again, and I didn't listen. and thinking that maybe that was a little bit too woo-woo for me, probably. But then once I got pregnant with a sweet little baby that I actually miscarried, but during that time, I met with the midwife, and she had recommended the IndieBirth podcast, so at that point, I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll try it. And from there, just diving in and learning everything about, listening to everything Marin has to say.
And then how did you, use the indie birth resources then?
Yeah, so I did the How to Have an Indie Birth course. I watched, had my husband watch the video about that Margot did interviewing the dad who had been part of a home birth, and just listening to all that information and being able to share that, those insights with my husband and talk more in depth with my sister about all of that great information that was shared, I was really able to feel confident in my decisions. Then when my next pregnancy came around, I would say indie birth was sort of woven into every single thing, every single decision that I made.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to kind of talk about some of those decisions that I made?
Absolutely.
That I felt like were big ones, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Ones. So the first decision obviously was to just be back at home, which I felt 100% confident I could do that. And I was able to visualize that and talk about those stories and tell those stories to my baby kind of every day throughout my pregnancy just to prepare. Initially, right when I found out I was pregnant, I found out that the local doula and local midwife potentially might be out of town when I was going to have my baby. So then the decision was, okay, so I birth in a hospital 50 to 60 minutes away because there's a VBAC van here where I live.
Oh, wow.
Or I could go unassisted. And those were pretty much my options. So I decided 100% that I would just go unassisted. It would probably wouldn't be a big deal. And at that point, I contacted Marin and did like a little consultation with her to find out if she would potentially be willing to answer questions or things like that throughout my pregnancy and birth if I needed her at all for those things. But again, too, my sister was a midwife's assistant, so I felt confident that she would be able to be there and be helpful to me if I had any questions. But then my midwife ended up being in town, so that was amazing, and I feel so blessed that she was there. Then another big decision that I had to make along the way was, because I was a VBAC, my midwife thought that maybe she would feel more comfortable if I potentially went to a birth center, because that was about a few hours away, just so that she could have another person there, more hands. And I was like, I don't know, I'll think about it. And I left her house and I thought, no, I have a vision for how this is going to look and I'm really hoping that it will look that way. And so comfortable if other people, if you need to have an extra set of hands there. But again, I feel 100% strong that in my conviction that this is where I need to be when I birth my baby, in my own space at home, and not traveling a long distance also was a big piece of that. And then when I actually did give birth, there ended up being quite a bit more bleeding than I expected. And I didn't really know what that was all about. So called my midwife and she came over and she just said, it could be a couple of different things. But you know, what's your heart telling you? And my heart was just telling me to just wait a little longer and see what happened. So she went home. And I took a shower and I cried and I just kind of surrendered to the fact that, you know, maybe I was going back to the hospital and maybe I was going to have a C-section again. And, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen at that point. But then I just decided to take a little rest, do a little meditation, lay down on my bed and my water's released and pretty much history from there. She was born within a few hours. So. but I was thankful that she provided me the information and then allowed, and then I just was felt confident to make those decisions on my own from there.
Great. So did you enter into like a traditional relationship with your midwife? You went for prenatal care, all of that kind of stuff, or did you manage any of that yourself?
I would say I really managed most of the care myself. I did meet with her a couple of times, maybe three or four times, and we would always just talk about whether I felt like I needed to come, and I would say yes or no based on, I really went to her more, I think, for emotional support and that processing of my first birth, because I knew that I still had some things weighing on me from all of the events of the first time around. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to have kind of a spiritual person to connect with as I kind of went through that journey.
Right, right. And does your midwife have a license, or is she unlicensed?
I don't actually know.
So it didn't really matter to you?
No, it didn't really matter to me at all. She has many, many recommendations within the community, and my sister had also worked with her. And I felt very confident that she would not ask me to make any decisions I didn't feel comfortable making, or push me into making any decisions I didn't feel comfortable making. She was there to stand by my side and be a support person in whatever way I needed her to be, and I trusted her to be that person.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Very lucky here.
So, tell us about the birth itself.
Ah, Twyla Astrid.
I love her name, by the way.
Thank you. She has been a ray of sunshine ever since I conceived her.
Aww.
Okay. So, woke up at 5 a.m. and, or no, woke up around 12 and, like, plugged my contractions into a little app. And it said, go to the hospital now. I thought that was so funny. So turned off the app because I didn't want to count my contractions, like, throughout my whole, I just wanted to know whether I should tell my sister to come or not. And I messaged my sister and I was like, oh, look at this. And she's like, oh, I'm going back to sleep. Your last labor was so long. There's no way I'll miss the baby. So I'll see you, you know, tomorrow sometime. So then I just kind of was too uncomfortable to stay in bed. So I woke up and watched a little bit of TV for a while. And relaxed with a heating pad. The contractions continued to come on and get a little bit stronger. And so I kind of picked up the house and ate a little bit and prepared for baby to come that day. And it was a really special day because that was actually the same day I had given birth to my little miscarriage baby the year before. So they share a birthday, which was really, really neat.
That's very special.
Yeah. And I then texted my midwife because of the bleeding that I was having. And she came over and just kind of, we talked about things. And my contractions did slow down when she was there. And so I was like, I think you should go. So her and her assistant or apprentice, they scooted on out of the house. And my husband and I just kind of hung around and, my contractions continued, but we decided we were just going to go out for breakfast to kill time because I was planning on this being a really long labor and I didn't want to just hang around all day waiting. So that's when things kind of started to get a little bit more intense, and I took that shower and I kind of laid down, and then water's released and my sister walked in the door at that very moment and she's like, what? And so my husband's scrambling around trying to get the birth pool set up. And I was like, wait, I don't think I need the birth pool. Why don't you start smoking lunch out in the smoker instead? I think we're going to need food more than we're going to need a birth pool. So he ended birth pool mission. And I bounced around on the ball and I took a bath. And then I labored in our bedroom for a little while. It just, looking back, it's hard to remember, but it felt like such a short period of time. So then decided to labor in the living room for a little bit. And my sister had contacted our midwife, Brenda, at that time. She showed up and then we're like kneeling by the couch. And I was in a place of like very extreme sensations. And, the midwife knelt down next to me and I said, Brenda, I don't think I can do this. And she said, then your body can. And if you can't, that's okay. And so she then kind of looked underneath of me because I was kneeling by the couch. And she said, would it help if I told you that your baby's on the descent? And I said, that would help a lot, especially since I'm thinking that I have a lot, long time to go here. So I kind of reached down then, touched my baby's head, which was the coolest thing ever. And my husband was there and my sister was kind of behind. And our little boy, Fox, who was 3 at the time, he was there too. And he was a little bit nervous. So he was kind of standing a little bit further away because in his words, the noises I was making are noises he never wants to hear again.
Aww.
which is really funny. But I'm really glad he was there. And then she just sort of slipped out into the world. She just kind of fell right out onto the ground. And I looked down at her, and I didn't have my glasses on, but I was thinking, I thought it seemed like she might be a girl. So I was like, oh my gosh, she's a girl! And I put my glasses on and confirmed that, and I was just over the moon, so excited, just because I had been thinking she was probably a girl the whole time, and I hadn't had any ultrasounds to confirm or deny that. So that was such a magical moment, especially because, again, with my first birth, everyone knew that he was a boy before I did.
Yep.
Which was really hard. So then we just did skin to skin for a while. I decided that I wanted to kind of sit up because my legs were starting to hurt in the position that I was in. So I birthed my placenta there in the living room and kind of walked into the bedroom and laid on the bed, FaceTimed some of my family and was like, look, she's here. So special. And took a bath and relaxed, and all of those midwife herbs and everything are the best thing ever. Since mm-hmm. bath, amazing. Yeah, it was a magical experience. Best day of my life. For awesome. Sure. Yeah.
Was there any more of that bleeding?
So we were thinking after the fact that I was probably just having that bleeding because my body was opening so quickly. She was born at, it was like 10:59 in the morning or something like that. So my labor from start to finish was only around 9 hours, mm-hmm. Which wasn't surprising to me because my grandma had said that once her water had broken, things had moved really quickly. So I was thankful to have that information mm-hmm. in my birth. Yeah. Yeah. So no, there wasn't really a lot of bleeding after at all or anything like that. No.
Great.
It was good there.
How about your postpartum time? How did you plan for that?
Very carefully. I kind of knew exactly what I wanted. And my husband's ideal of what it should have looked like was a little bit different than mine. He really wanted to take like a full week of us just nesting alone. But I'm kind of more of a person who I wanted to show off my new baby and tell everybody what I did. So we had, I think, a couple days or at least a day or two with no people around, really, except my sister who helped us out. And then we started inviting family in for a little short little stints at a time to meet our sweet baby Twyla. And most of the time I just had my husband put up a bird feeder out the window, and then I just looked out the window, held my baby, nursed, relaxed, and had a beautiful time. It was blissful.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I would do it over again in a heartbeat.
Okay. Well, speaking about doing it again, is there anything you would do differently, do you think, if you did have another baby?
So the only thing that I would potentially do differently, and I've told my midwife this many times, is that I would have liked to have caught her. I think that would have been really cool to have been able to like catch her on the descent, but I was like so far into the stars that was not even close to a reality at mm-hmm. all. But she had told me that was pretty normal, that moms sometimes are kind of in that state of mind. So potentially, if that was a possibility, catch her a little bit more, maybe have my hands there when the baby were to come out or something like that. But yeah, that's the only thing that I would maybe shift if I could.
Great.
And that's not a source of trauma at all, so it's great.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is about it. I guess my last question would be, do you have any advice for other moms, other dads?
Yeah, I would say get really, really comfortable with listening to your heart just on a daily basis for little decisions, so that when those big decisions come up, you can follow your intuition and follow your gut instinct and do what you feel the right thing is to do. And then another thing. So one thing I had learned from the How to Have an Indie Birth course, they had talked a little bit about childbirth without fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am a person who was raised to be terrified of pain and to avoid pain at all costs. If your shoulder hurts, you take Advil. If there's the potential of getting hurt, you don't do that particular situation. Like, you live in fear. Mm-hmm. And so having that information, I used that throughout my pregnancy. Anytime, like, I had a leg cramp in the middle of the night or some sort of discomfort, just kind of taking the power away from that fear. Mm-hmm. So that I could sit with it. And then when birthing time came, there were some intense feelings, but I wouldn't say painful. And I don't think that I had really any fear about the experience whatsoever. And that was, I feel like that's kind of how I got to that place, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. Well, thank you so much for sharing your amazing story with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
To learn about the support, classes, webinars, consults, and more that we offer women and midwives, be sure to subscribe to our newsletter at indiebirth.org. For more information about our midwifery school, visit indiebirthmidwiferyschool.org. Thanks for listening.